praise the Lord. Paul told Timothy, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Praise God. Praise God. I got a little confused on the schedule. But that's okay. It's a good thing you study all the time. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis means the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings. And it starts off with that word, in the beginning. Praise God. That's not a baseball term, by the way. Praise God. Genesis, the 9th chapter, verses 12 through 16. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Then open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, and that is the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it says in verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? I need the Lord to quicken his word to my heart that he wants us to hear today. We need his power and his anointing to bring it to pass. Lord, this morning we thank you for your goodness and mercy. I thank you that you're ever-present help. And I believe you this morning to come sweeping into this congregation with your mighty presence and power. Lay your hand upon each individual today, Lord. Lay your hand upon your servant today. I need you to help me and quicken your word, that it will be fresh and new and quick and powerful. It will accomplish your purpose in this service today, Lord. And I'll very carefully give you praise in your lovely name, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I want to preach this morning from this subject, the willingness of God. The willingness of God. Sometimes people have a concept of God that you've got to pray and fast and twist God's arm and put him in a hammerlock to get him to do what he said he would do. And that is not the truth. Praying and fasting is putting us in a position to believe God. Amen. You can fast until you fall over dead. It was like the the guy that said he was going to train his cow not to eat. And somebody said, well, how's that coming along? He said, that crazy cow, about the time I got her trained, she died. You don't have to put God in a bind. God is not in a bind. He is faithful to His Word. But what we have to do is put ourselves in a position to where we can believe God. Amen. So fasting is really for our benefit. It just simply makes us more sensitive to God. It doesn't change God, but it does change us. Amen. Amen. Now, these two scriptures that I read this morning, these two passages of scripture, do not seem to go together. I mean, they're in the Bible, but they're not, don't seem to be on the same subject. And yet, they are. Some month or so ago, a lot of you folks know I eat breakfast at Denny's most of the time. And that's when I take my time to do my Bible reading and study before I go to work. And one particular morning, it had been raining and the sun had come out. And there was the most beautiful rainbow. I mean, it was from, a lot of times they're not complete. Brother David Bonniers and I, we've been talking about a rainbow is actually in a circle. I know that there can be, but you have to be in outer space to look back to the earth to see that the rainbow is a circle. Well, you ever seen a circle of rainbow? No. If you were looking from outer space down on the earth, it would show that the rainbow is a circle. But it was the most beautiful rainbow. The colors were bright, vivid, and it was just from horizon to horizon. And it was just marvelous. And the waitress came by to bring me my food. And I said, would you look at that beautiful rainbow? And she said, yes, isn't it beautiful? I said, do you know what the rainbow means? And she said, no. I said, when you see that rainbow, that is God's covenant to you and to all of civilization, that He keeps His Word. When you see that rainbow, it is God made a promise after the worldwide flood that He would never, ever destroy the earth again with a flood. And He just wanted you to know when it started raining. We may have floods at different places on the earth, but you can rest assured that there will never be another worldwide flood to destroy all life. And that brings up the question. Maybe you haven't asked that question, and maybe you have. How could there possibly been a worldwide flood? Now just think about that for a minute. I forget the exact measurement, but in the Bible it said that after it rained 40 days and 40 nights, that the water was so many cubits above the highest mountains. Now, by the way, mountains are still growing. They were not always as high as they are right now. You don't believe that, do you? Well, I'm going to tell you. In California is earthquake country. And one of the last big earthquakes we had in recent times in California affected the San Fernando Valley. And after that earthquake, the scientists were on the radio, and they said the mountains in the San Fernando Valley were higher after the earthquake, and the San Fernando Valley was narrower than it was before the earthquake. In fact, this hogback right out here, I was talking to Pastor. I'm not a geologist, but I'm certain in my spirit that there's an earthquake fault right there. That hogback runs for a long ways. And that, if you look at it, the rocks are on an angle, and that is an upthrust from an earthquake. Now, I have to lay this little foundation, but just bear with me. Someone said, how could there possibly be a worldwide flood? Now, the earth is very large. I don't know the diameter of the earth or the circumference of it. I haven't bothered to look it up. Before the flood, the earth was one landmass. There were not continents. If you get out a globe or you look at a map that's flattened out, around there is flattened out, and this, or you look at a globe, Brother Oliver that preached here has a marvelous globe in his house. It is fantastic. I'd love to have it, but I don't have the money to purchase that. It's big, and it's made out of pieces of wood all glued together. And the last time I was down there to his house, I just stood in his living room and I just spun the globe. And I looked at it. If you look at a globe, let's take the continent of Africa. You know it comes out like this. And then you look across the ocean to South America, the continent of South America. It doesn't take any imagination at all. Here's Africa. It's got this big hump out here that comes down. And here's South America. It comes out like this. Just moved them together. They will fit perfectly. And then, of course, the islands and all that. The North American continent, Europe, they match. And I read an article in Reader's Digest probably 25 years ago. And the article said, the continents are adrift. That means they're moving. And I was preaching a revival in 1973 in Santa Barbara, California. And I was preaching about the flood, something about the flood. And I mentioned just what I'm mentioning. He said, man, this is an old message, Brother Ulrich. The Bible is old. And a seasoned scribe, the Bible says, brings forth old and new. This is not something canned today. This is just something that I've talked about before, preached a little bit about before. Now, I've preached Acts 2:38 probably 1,500 times, or maybe more. So you don't get tired of that. Anyway, I was preaching that about the flood. And I mentioned the fact that the earth was at one time one landmass. And we had good church. Somebody got the Holy Ghost after church. A man came up to me, and he worked for NASA. And he worked at Vandenberg Air Force Base, about 90 miles north of Ventura. Was originally designed and designated as a spaceport where they were going to launch people into space. But Cape Canaveral is not Canaveral. That's Cape Kennedy now, I think. But it was originally Cape Canaveral. Certain conditions prevailed that they changed the spaceport from Vandenberg, California, to Kennedy spaceport. After church, he came up to me, and he was smiling. He said, "Brother Allred, I got something to tell you." I said, "Okay, what?" He said, "We just not long ago shot a probe into space. And the purpose of that space probe was to try to discover life on other planets in the solar system," which I think is a waste of time and money. Somebody said, "Well, what if there were people on other planet, or life on other planets? Wouldn't that disprove the Bible?" I said, "No. The Bible is God's book to man on the earth. And if there is life on another planet in this solar system, Jesus will have gone there to die for their sins. And they're in good hands. So I don't worry about that at all, is my persuasion. They'll never find any life out there because it's not out there." That's all red one and one. Take it or leave it, like it or not. I don't know why I'm on this. What people are calling space aliens, they're not space aliens. Those are demons. You just got to call it like it is. That's what it is. And so, here we are. That's why Jesus is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. All right. And so, he came to me and he said, "Brother Allred." I said, "Yeah. We shot this space probe out into space, and from Vandenberg." And he said, "Inside of that space probe, there is a silver plate. And on that silver plate is etched what we thought the earth looked like a million years ago." What they think it looked like a million years ago. The earth is not a million years old, my friend, but nevertheless. And then there's another etching on there, what the earth looks like today. That was in 73. And there's another etching on that plate, what the scientists feel like the earth will look like a million years from now. And I said, "Okay." And he said, "That one that they thought the earth looked, what they thought the earth looked like a million years ago, the continents are all very close together." And so that comforted me. I already know what I believe, but I'm not as dumb as I look. You say, why worldwide flood would be possible? Only if there was one landmass. That's a lot of water. How did the continents come to be? The continents came to be because not only did it rain 40 days and nights, but the Bible says the fountains of the deep were opened up. In my town in 1969, they had a flood, a big flood. We had it's a dam up above Porterville called Success Dam. And it had an emergency spillway off to the side. And in 1969, there was an abundance of rain. And it rained so much in the Sierra Nevadas that the water came down and filled up Success Lake plumb to the top. And the only thing that saved the dam and the city was the emergency spillway that was off to the side. It was about 60 or 70 feet wide, and it had a concrete curb there. And the waters overflowed. Instead of going over to the top of the dam, they went off to the side, and they went off the emergency spillway. And I came home from Bible school that winter, and I drove up there. And with just that little small podunk town of Porterville and that lake, the waters that just overflowed the emergency spillway in one day dug a chasm about 40 feet wide and 20 or 30 feet deep. That wasn't there one day, and the next day it was there. Because of the force of that water, just flowing over that emergency spillway. It eroded the soil. If it had done that for 40 days, there'd been a new continent. I'm telling you, it moved. It moved the earth there, and the chasm is still there to this day. And every time it rains, it gets a little deeper because of the eroding effect of the force of water. And so the reason that the earth is composed of what they call tectonic plates. And those plates are in motion, and everywhere they join together, as they move, then we have earthquakes. In California, you honey's ever heard California is going to fall off in the ocean? The Lord tarries, it just may. Hope it takes away San Francisco when it does. But anyway, if you drive down Highway 101 in California, when you come to the town of Hollister. Now, Brother Fisher pastored in Taft, California, and I pastored in Ventura, California. And in between us, there's what is called the Ridge Route. As you drive over the Ridge Route, you come to a certain place, and you can see the San Andreas Fault. You can see it. I mean, it's very visible. Okay. Now, in Ventura, it was right on the ocean, and the Pacific Plate and the Continental Plate, they rubbed together along the San Andreas Fault. The Pacific side of California is moving north. And one of the best places to see that, you may not see it moving, but you can see that it has moved, and you will know that it will move some more. And what causes the earthquake is that way down beneath the surface, the Pacific Plate is moving northward, but it hangs up on rocks, and it builds up pressure, and it doesn't move for a while. But when it does move, it does two things. It either goes up and down, which is it tears up stuff when it goes up and down. Or it will slip, and it will rock and roll, and the ground actually rolls. Okay. And so if you drive up Highway 101, and you come to the town of Hollister, California, if you look off to the right, you'll see that it's kind of a nice sloping hill. You'll see that there is a white fence that's a property line. It comes down the mountain to a certain spot. And then it stops. And about 25 or 30 feet north, the fence goes on again. And the reason that fence is, it's not that the property line runs that way. The property line runs straight down the mountain. That just shows you how far that the Pacific side of California has moved northward. That little fence was once straight, but over the years, with the earthquakes that came, the earth has moved. And so the reason there could be a worldwide flood, and there was a, now listen, every civilization, I was talking to somebody, Brother Dylan, and he was telling me some of the Navajo customs and traditions and beliefs. And one of them is there was a worldwide flood. Every civilization has that in their history, that there was a worldwide flood. And the reason that that was possible is that it was one landmass. And what a cataclysmic thing that was. When the fountains of the deep opened up and the waters that were under the earth began to gush. And the water began to pour down from heaven for 40 days and 40 nights. It set the continents and made the continents. And over the passing of time, some are getting further apart and some are getting closer together. And so that may not mean nothing to you, just take it or leave it. But the fact I wanted to tell you is that God said, God's the one that sent the flood. It was a judgment flood. That doesn't mean there's no more judgment coming. The earth that now is held in store by the Word of God, waiting for that fiery indignation and judgment from God, wherein the elements shall be on fire, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. That's the next judgment. First by water, the final one's going to be with fire. And so we want to get ready for the Lord to come. And so that rainbow that you see, you may take for granted. What causes the rainbow? Water, the moisture that is held in the clouds, water vapor with the sun shining through the droplets that make up the cloud, infracts the light and breaks it up. It's like a prism. It breaks it up into the basic colors. And the reason that you see the rainbow is because the sunlight is shining through the molecules of water in the air and breaks it down into the basic colors, and it is beautiful to behold. But it's more than a phenomenon. It is a promise from God that He will never wipe out the earth, the entire earth, with the flood again. So don't get nervous when it rains. Just look for the rainbow, because God said, I got my covenant in the sky, and I will never, it's a covenant between God and man and all living things, that He will never, ever destroy the world again with a flood. And so the Lord set that there so that we can be assured and have peace and have comfort about it. Now, I want to talk about the willingness of God. God was willing to give you peace and assurance that there never would be a catastrophe like that ever again. He wanted you to have that comfort in your heart that it would never happen again. Now, Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith. And Hebrews 11, 6 gives us two things, two requirements to receive from God. There's two requirements to receive anything from God. And they're very simple. The first one is, you must believe that He is. Now, by the way, the devil meets that criteria. As Brother Stewart preached this morning, the devil knows a lot more about God than 99% of Christianity does. He knows there's only one God. And he trembles. That's why when you say, what do you mean? That's why when you deal with the devil, you better say in Jesus' name. I was in the barber shop in Santa Cruz, California one year. I've been preaching where I was getting a haircut. And I was sitting in the chair there and I was reading a magazine to pass the time. And I quit witnessing to people when I sat in the barber chair, because you always get a hack job if you do that. So don't do it. So I was reading a magazine. And it was when the movie The Exorcist came out. I'm going to tell you, this is... Anyway, if you believe movies, you're a fool. I don't mind telling you. I really believe that. And so that was the head story in the magazine, and I was reading it. And I was just chuckling and laughing, you know, because it said what the priest said when he was going to exorcise that demon out of that girl. I believe it was a girl. I didn't see the movie. I'm going to see the movie, but anyway. And when I was getting to that part, I thought, well, what's he going to say? And it said what the priest said. We adjure you in the name of God, release this God's child. It ain't happening. There was no exorcism. Did you know that the Catholic Church is trying, they're running out of priests that will volunteer to become exorcists? You know why? Because they become demon-possessed themselves and go insane. You cannot play with the devil. You cannot adjure him in the name of the Father and get anything done. If you're going to deal with the devil, you got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And when you use the name of Jesus, the demons got to go. Hallelujah. And so Satan believes there's one God and he trembles. But the second criteria for receiving something from God, here it is. Believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not passively seek him. Not casually seek him. On and off seek him. But they that diligently seek him. And the key word is diligently. It means to hasten, to do a thing, to be earnest, to be fervent. I taught a Bible study to a man in this town. He wanted the Holy Ghost. And he hasn't got it yet. And the reason he hasn't received it yet is not diligent. Not diligent. God knows I need it, and he'll give it to me. No, 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 no. No, no. God is willing. He is willing for everyone in this house this morning to have the Holy Ghost. It is not to say enough to say I believe in God. You're just on par with the devil there. But you're going to have to come to a spot where you believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How long shall I seek God? It's not that you gotta persuade God. It's the fact that you just gotta get yourself into a condition where you genuinely believe that God is going to do exactly what he said. And when you reach that spot, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 10 years, when you get to that spot, I promise you that the Holy Ghost will come. It will come immediately. It will come powerfully. It'll come flooding through your soul like a hurricane. But you've got to meet the criteria. Somebody said, well, faith. Yes, that's what faith is. He is a rewarder in them that diligently seek him. This is the opposite. Diligence is the opposite of passiveness. A man, when I was in pastoring in Ventura, a very good man. He had been an alcoholic. He had been a prize fighter. He was a cement finisher. He was one tough man. And the Lord got a hold of his heart and brought him to repentance. And when he came to repentance, he delivered him from alcoholism. He never drank another drop after that. He got baptized in Jesus' name. And I worked with him for years. And I prayed with him. I wept over him. I prayed and fasted and sought God for him. For that he would receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm happy that he's delivered from alcoholism. I'm happy that he got baptized in Jesus' name. But Jesus said, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. So what we're saying this morning, it is absolutely essential that you repent. It is absolutely essential that you be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you've been baptized any other way, we're ready to baptize you in the name of Jesus. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so it is critical not to just get in the water, but it is critical to repent before you get there. And when you get into the waters of baptism, to be baptized, to be buried, to be plunged under in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so I worked with him, and I prayed with him. Occasionally he would come to the altar and pray, and oh, I was so passionate for him. I went to him one day, and his name was Esau. I said, Esau, you got to get with it, man. You got to. What do you mean, Pastor? You hardly ever pray for the Holy Ghost. You know you need it, right? Right. What's the deal with you? Come on, let's pray. And here's what he said to me. It just haunts me to this day. It haunts me. He said, Pastor, God knows that I need the Holy Ghost. And I know that I need the Holy Ghost. And when God gets ready for me to have it, He'll give it to me. I'm talking about cold chills going up and down my body. I said, Esau, no. God will give it to you. But He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I'm so sad to tell you that the man went out into eternity without the Holy Ghost. Because he just put it off. He was passive. Now he's in the hands of God. I don't have any judgment there. I just preach the Word of God. But what we've got to understand, the Holy Ghost is the gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God. It is a benevolent gift from a benevolent God to unworthy people. That's why it comes by the grace of God. He gives it to us by His grace. Not because we deserve it, but because He promised it to us. And when we diligently seek Him, He will give you the Holy Ghost. I've seen people diligently seek the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost in less than 5 minutes. I've seen the Holy Ghost fall on a congregation and people just immediately just receive the Holy Ghost like that. It's like popcorn. Just bam, 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 across. Yeah. And then I've seen others pray for years and years and years. And you say, what's wrong? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. There's something wrong in their heart. And as soon as they surrender that, God will immediately give them the Holy Ghost. And so I'm preaching this morning the willingness of God. There is no need this morning to leave this assembly. There's no need to wait another 5 minutes, my friend. While I'm preaching, if you will diligently seek Him, the Holy Ghost will fall upon you and we'll quit preaching and we'll rejoice right along with you, because that's the object, that's the goal, is for people to receive God in their heart. In the book of Matthew, there was a leprous man, the 8th chapter of Matthew. He came to Jesus, and he was full of leprosy, and he came to the Lord, and he was an outcast from society. He couldn't mix with the rest of the population. He had to wear old, raggedy, torn, dirty clothes, and he had to wear a veil over his mouth, and he had to live outside of he was quarantined from the rest of the population, and he had to go around saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. And so he came, but this man came to Jesus, and I don't know how close he got to Jesus, but I know how close Jesus got to him, because he says, Master Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Bible says that Jesus touched him, which was not supposed to happen. And Jesus went and touched him. And here's what Jesus said. I will be thou clean. The leprous man said, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. But I know that if you will it, you can make me clean. And Jesus said to him, I will be thou clean. I want you to know Jesus didn't say, yes, I can. He said, yes, I will. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I know Jesus can give me the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's more than that. He will if you diligently seek Him this morning. If you're here without the Holy Ghost, let me tell you one thing. And that is, I want you right now in your heart and your mind, I want you to begin to say, Jesus, I know you will give me the Holy Ghost. I am going to ask you. I am going to diligently seek you. And He will. Jesus said in Luke 9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, somebody say, everyone! Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened to him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you come diligently seeking Him, He will not let you down. He will not disappoint you. It is the will of God. God is willing. He is willing. He is waiting on you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9 says what God's not willing. He is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Why didn't He say that all have the Holy Ghost? Because you can't have the Holy Ghost if you don't repent. And so He is not willing that any perish. The word perish means to be lost. Look it up in any commentary. He is not willing that anybody be lost. Amen. There are only two possible outcomes of life at the end of this life. There's only two outcomes possible. And one of the other will happen. The first possible outcome is to be lost and go to hell. I don't even like to think about that. The other outcome is to be saved. And the difference between the two destinations is, will you diligently seek Him? It's interesting. Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came, to seek and to save. Because He's not willing that any perish. So it is not God's will for anyone to be lost. You don't have to go there. If you go, you go as an intruder, as a trespasser. Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet the writer said, hell hath enlarged her borders, because there be many that go in thereat. And so today, I want to tell you, with the authority of the Scripture and the God of glory, it is not God's will for anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want you there. That's why Calvary's there. That's what the cross is about. That's what the suffering was about. That's what it was all about. He said, I don't want anybody to be lost. I'm giving myself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I've paid the price. I've borne the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. I am paying the penalty. I am paying the price. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can you clap your hands? Hallelujah! 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 Peter said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. What? Did you get that? He wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature. The word divine means God's nature. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have got the divine nature of God dwelling in your body. Doesn't make you God, it makes you a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm tired. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises, you're tired too, for all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. The word yea means yes. All of God's promises are yes. By the way, there's someone in there I don't want. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in His love divine. I don't sing that. I sing it for you now, but I'm not going to sing it no more. Why? Because the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That ain't mine. I don't want it. And neither should you. Now, if you want to be wicked, then it's yours. And so, but all the promises of God in Him are yea, means yes. And amen. When you, now watch out what you say amen when the preacher's preaching. You need to be careful what you say when you say it. Because when you say amen, you're saying, let it be so. So be careful what you amen. And so God's promises are yes, and they really will happen. God's promises are yes. Now, it's fun to quote that, but it's better to believe it. I helped a pastor start a church in North Carolina a long time ago. Preached, knocked doors for a week or two before, and we started the church with the revival. I was preaching one night, and I was preaching from this text, all of God's promises are yes. I never had it happen exactly like that again, but it could. And when I said all the promises of God are yes, the congregation, I said, say yes. They said, yes. All of God's promises, they'd say, amen. And pretty soon, yes and amen. And yeah, I mean, the congregate, it was just going back and forth. And I'm standing up there. And I'm telling you, the glory of God fell in that place. People were instantly healed. Like that. Pow! People got the Holy Ghost. Pow! Over here. And here. Here. And there. And I'm just standing up there with my jaw hanging down. Because somebody finally got a hold on God's promises were yes and amen. That God was willing. And not only was He willing, He would do it if they diligently sought Him. I'm telling you, the glory of God fell. People were healed of hernias. A lady had a knee problem. I was standing there and people were shouting and carrying on like we do when we get to feeling the goodness of God. And I looked down the aisle and here came this woman down the aisle. She was just a boogie. And I looked in the... While I'm looking, ace bandage is unwinding around her leg. And she's just shouting down the aisle. And her husband, it was the funniest thing. Her husband was following, and he's rolling up the ace bandage. And she's shouting and carrying on. And I thought, this is like a circus. I mean, it was funny, but it was glorious. All because, I'm going to tell you what happened to her. After church, I said, they had testimony service. And this woman stood up, and she's still shouting. And she said, I'm supposed to go into the hospital tomorrow. They're going to operate. They were going to operate on my knee because it moves frontwards and backwards, and it falls out from under me. But I'm telling you right now, it's healed. I'm telling you, it beat all I ever seen. And another woman. Take her to the doctor this week. She's going to have to have hernia surgery. But right here, tonight, God healed her. Nobody went to and prayed. They began to diligently seek God. And they got a hold of the thing that God is willing. God is ready. God is willing right now, right now. And they begin to receive. Hallelujah. Now, God is willing. Are you ready to diligently seek Him? Don't put it off another minute. Don't say, well, I'll wait tonight. We got a fireball evangelist coming. And I believe we do. But don't wait then. Don't wait. Now. I know it's miraculous to think that suddenly you're going to speak in a language you did not know. That might even be frightening to you. Don't be frightened. So I've had people say, but I don't know how to talk in tongues. Put her there. I don't either. And if somebody teaches you how, you better run like you got somebody chasing you with an AR-15. You better run. At a Sunday school conference. Now, I'm going to tell you, how many's ever had doubts? Come on. You're not sinning. Doubts about some things of God. I was in a meeting one time. And now, I believe the Bible teaches clearly and unequivocally that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. Another language. And it will be as the Spirit gives you the utterance or the ability to speak. People said, well, what about the... I don't know the politically correct word here. What about those that just don't have what we think would be the mental capacity? God doesn't have any problems. You might. I might. He don't. So I was in this meeting. It was a district sectional meeting. And I happened to be on the platform that night. And right before the preacher started preaching, I noticed on the front two rows on this side like this, they were empty. The place was crammed packed. There wasn't a place for anybody else to be seated except those seats right there. And I thought, I wonder what's going on. And when the preacher, right before he got up to preach, walking down the center aisle, came this lady, and behind her was 10 or 15 people. They walked right in. The lady picked up a chair, turned it around, faced the chair. And the chairs filled up with these people. What's going on? And right at the introduction of the preacher, the lady started speaking in sign language. And I said, oh, deaf mutes can't hear, can't speak. And the preacher got to preaching Brother Stewart about you must be born again. And he just got right down to the brass tacks. You've got to, you must have the Holy Ghost to be saved. And when you get it, you will speak with other tongues. And right on the front two rows are people that cannot hear and cannot speak. And this old, I was a young evangelist back then, believe it or not. And I'm thinking, now, what's God going to do? How are we going to know if they got the Holy Ghost? Because they can't talk. Now, I didn't tell anybody sitting next to me. I mean, it's just going over in my brain. I'm thinking, now, God, I know you can do anything, but I don't know how you're going to. When the preacher got through preaching, he said, I want all the ministers to come up here and form two lines on this platform facing each other. And anybody that wants the Holy Ghost, you come through this line and God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, So I took a position facing the congregation. And another evangelist friend of mine, Brother David Abbott, side by side, we're facing the audience and another row of preachers right here. And when he said, if anybody wants the Holy Ghost, you get up and come through this line. Bunches of people came, but I looked, the lady translated it, and they looked at each other. And they all got up. And I thought, oh my God. And they all formed a line. And they started coming through this prayer line. Brother Abbott and I were about in the middle. And I'm praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost, and He is, and people are receiving the Holy Ghost. But out of my left eye, I'm looking, how close are they? I'm telling you. I'm confessing, but I'm going to tell you what. God's word is yes. Not maybe. Yes. And amen. And so we're praying along, and here they come. The first one was a lady. And the interpreter was walking right along beside him. And this lady, I got to illustrate it to you. This lady came through the iron, Brother Stewart. She got her eyes closed. She's praying. I guess God understands sign language. And anyway, she's praying. When she come and stopped in front of Brother David at Abbott and I usually shut my eyes when I pray, but I didn't that time. I just put my hand on her head, and he had his hand. And I was saying, now God, you've got to keep your word. You said you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we begin to pray, and I'm watching her. And she's praying like that. And all of a sudden she goes, she stopped. She started talking to the lady. The lady started talking to her. I said, what's she saying? She said to me, she said she feels something right here. And I said, you tell her that that's the Holy Ghost. Just keep praying. God will give her the Holy Ghost right now. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell on that woman. It would have been miraculous if she would have spoken English. But Brother David, she began to speak in tongues in another language. It was very high. You know why she couldn't hear? But God heard her. And down the row, those people started receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. I'm telling you, all of God's promises are yes, 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 yes. What are you waiting on, my brother? What are you waiting on, my friend? There's no need to go home without the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be without Him. You can have Him now. Woo! All He needs is a willing candidate. Said, here I am, Lord. I want You now. I gotta have You now. I can't wait any longer. Jesus is here right now. He's here right now. He's moving right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. Brother Stewart can't give you the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer. He's willing. Are you ready? Don't come down here, well, what if He doesn't? You come down here saying, I know I'm seeking You with my whole heart. And the moment you do, hallelujah, hallelujah, come on, are you ready this morning? I don't know everybody in this house, but I know there's got to be some people right now that here need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, not only the Holy Ghost, you need a healing in your body. You need an answer from God. He's here to do it this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Saints, let's worship God. We can't miss God right now. We must not slide by this. We must give it to the Lord right now. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Ghost, don't be bashful. Just say, God, I gotta have the Holy Ghost right now. I got to go home full of the Holy Ghost. I can't go home empty. I can't take a chance. I don't want to worry about tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Let somebody trust God today. Hallelujah. If you know somebody here that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, go to them. Encourage them to pray. Hallelujah. Begin to pray with them. And let's let the God of glory meet the need. Hallelujah. Brother Stewart, you know more than I do who's here. I don't know who needs it and who don't. But I'm telling you.
telling you, seek them out right now. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and begin to call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Let Him come. Let Him come. Let Him come. Hallelujah. And begin to